I believe life is one big spiritual creative experience, and everything that we do, whether it's start a business, write a book, fall in love, or I don't know, pull a bunch of tarot cards, has a little spiritual lesson wrapped up inside of it. I'm obsessed with trying to understand the mysteries of the world from the arcane to the mundane and unboxing as many spiritual lessons as I can. And on the 12th house, we're going to explore all of that. So let's get into it together.
Welcome back. I'm Michelle. And I am so happy that you're here because we are starting a brand new series on the 12th House podcast. And this series is called The 8th House, the house of other people's money. When we started the 12th House podcast, obviously the name, or maybe not obviously, the name comes from the 12th House of astrology, which is the house of the unseen, the unknown, the mysterious, the stuff in life that we don't always shine a light on. And the intention of this show was to shine a light on those things. And while I love the 12th house deeply, both the podcast and the house in astrology, my heart, my primo, my number one house has to be the 8th house. And it's probably because I'm biased because my son is in the 8th house, but the 8th house is the house of sex, death, and other people's money. And I've been thinking about this so much over the last probably, well, to be honest with you, for a really long time, probably since I started Holisticism and went through a whole process of fundraising. But especially more potently, I guess, or specifically in the last year and a half, as I've been diving into training and certification as a financial therapist and financial counselor. And I have to be real with you. Like, the training is so boring. The training is so boring. And money conversations to me, like finance education, is so boring. It makes me have a full body reaction of just like a yawn and blah, blah. It's like the Peanuts adults, like blah, 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 blah. That's kind of like what happens in my brain when I feel like I interact with any sort of content around finance, even the like out there more energetic stuff, but especially the sort of like rote, here's what you need for your budget or you need a budget, whatever, that stuff. And with that being said, like, oh my God, it's so obvious that so many of us need to talk about money. We need to talk about how we make it, how other people make it, how to save it, how to spend it, how to make it work for us. And it's not easy. It's this sort of like shifty concept that we're both like endlessly fascinated by and totally repelled by. And I'm so curious about that in myself and in other people. And I'm feeling like particularly drawn to this series, The House of Other People's Money, because I think that that's actually the easiest way to begin to relate to money, because there's so much shame when we talk about money or wealth or accumulation. And I find that often when we first get started, or not, maybe even we've been doing this for a while, instinct is to take in some information and be like, oh, I'm not doing it right. Ugh, I'm already behind. Ugh, ugh, ugh. Or to compare. Oh, that person's so far ahead of me, or I'm never going to be like them, or I could never do that because they got this head start. And it's so like depressing. It makes your brain immediately, or I'll speak from the eye, it makes my brain immediately turn off. But we're all pretty nosy, right? Like we're all like, what's that person doing over there? I mean, it's why we love watching each other on the internet. And I think that when we look at other people and transparently understand their relationships to money and how they make money and how they interact with money, we can take some of that and apply it with less shame and with a little bit more nuance, maybe even like generosity, than we typically do when we're taking in, I don't know, education around finance and around money. So that's the thesis of this series, is to sort of like find this new pathway. Maybe like when you've usually taken the door, we're going to take a window into the conversation around money and wealth and abundance and how it feels and how we're relating to it right now, especially like in this current age, in this time. I'm recording this in January of 2024. Oh my gosh. And things are up in the economy. It has been a tough couple of years ever since COVID. And people are really feeling it. And that influences so many of our decisions, both our business decisions, our entrepreneurial decisions, our creative decisions, even our decisions to do things like huge life events, like get married or have children or move abroad. These things are influenced in some way, sometimes greatly, sometimes not so much, but still influenced by our relationship to money and wealth and being able to care for ourselves. Okay, so we're going to come in hot with this series, and I want to talk about why we fall for fake money transparency when we see marketing online. When I say fake money transparency or fake financial transparency, I think that transparency around finances in general is a pretty good thing, especially when it's shared freely and openly, like it's voluntarily shared. It's important for us to see how other people make money, where they get their money from, when they inherit it, when it's gifted to them, how they save money. That is awesome. It's helpful to see other people doing it in real time and to sort of like make sense of how they create a life for themselves. Like the Money Diaries subreddit is so amazing for this. And just like when vulnerability got really hot, thanks Brené Brown, and we started to see like pseudo vulnerability or weaponized vulnerability show up on our Instagram feeds, I think we're seeing the same thing happen with money transparency, where people are sharing quote unquote transparently around their finances or about how much money they make or how much money their business makes in order to sell a product or a service. And that product or service doesn't have anything to do necessarily with money. Like the product or service is how to launch a product or how to be a coach or how to write a book. Now, it's okay to acknowledge that these things make us money. But if the number one thing that you're using to market a service or a product is your bank statements, I have questions. And in general, I have questions when people share about their finances as a way to say that they have credibility. If they are not literally teaching finance or teaching investing, and even if they are, I still have questions. I don't think that that's a legitimate or non-coercive way to market what you do. And I'm seeing this trend so often. And I'm going to be totally honest with you. I feel like it will go the way of Instagram pseudo vulnerability, that we all got like a vulnerability hangover and we're like, cut it with the long captions, just be real. But unfortunately, I think that quote unquote, like pseudo transparency around finances and salaries and revenue, using that as a way to sell things, it really like preys on people. I want to talk about this because I want you to be an informed consumer and to not feel bad when you see stuff like that online, and to also not let that be the way that you market your work, because there are so many better ways to show your credibility, to prove your credibility rather than your bank statement. And like making money doesn't mean that you're necessarily bad at what you do, but it also doesn't mean you're necessarily good at what you do. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But let me ground you down in like the reality, in my reality. So a couple months ago, I was scrolling through my Instagram and I'd been seeing these things pop up, but it's a little bit that like, here's how much I make every month is a little more bro marketing to me than it is like what I tend to see in the sort of like spiritual, wellness, design, creative, entrepreneurial space, or like business owner space. And it's begun to creep in. And it's like when one person does it, then everyone gets permission to do it, or everyone's like, oh, wait, they're doing it. And like people are responding to it. Just because people are interacting with something doesn't mean that it's necessarily a good strategy. But anyways, I saw this person, whatever, scrolling through my Instagram, saw this post come up and it was about launching products. And the very first sentence was, I made X amount of dollars in this month using my formula. And the thesis, basically what the person was selling was, if you use my formula, then you're going to make X amount of dollars. All you have to do is just implement the formula. And while that's how we market stuff, if you do this, then you'll get X result most of the time, your financial results are a disingenuous way and probably unrealistic expectation or standard for what the typical thing that you're selling, especially if you are selling to small business owners or brand new business owners, might be. It's like in infomercials where people are like, yeah, I used whatever, this lotion, and I looked like I was 20 years younger overnight. And they're like, results may vary. Not all results are like this. This was an extreme result. No, don't expect results like this. Like in the person who talks really fast at the end and like the fine print at the bottom of the screen. That's kind of like what exactly this is in real life. Yeah. So I was scrolling through this person's feed and I noticed that a lot of their marketing, and maybe 90% of their marketing, was about how to make money, how much money they're making. And if you use this launch process and design process that they have, you're going to make lots and lots of money. And while it could be true that you're going to be financially successful, or you'll make money, you're not going to make the same amount as this person, because I've been following this person for a while. I know this person. They've been making work for a long time. They've had a business for a long time. They've had an audience for a long time. So when they decide to launch a product to their community of 10,000 people, yeah, they might make tens of thousands of dollars in a couple of days. And that's because they've built up to that point. So it would be an unrealistic expectation for you, if you are just starting a business, to implement their process and expect to get the same results. And while it might seem obvious when we say it out loud, I don't think it always is, especially when we're sitting there and scrolling and looking at someone's dream life and their curated version of their business and their experience and what they decide to share with us. So with this particular experience, I did some of my stuff that I do to like level set, which I'm going to talk about in a second. But when I have a feeling of, how could that possibly be real? Or, ooh, this feels predatory. Or, I don't like this. Or this is giving me an ick. My first reaction is always like, oh, it must be a me thing. I must be triggered for some reason. Like, why am I being triggered about this thing? And usually I just try to ignore it. I'm like, interesting. Okay. And I try to just move on and like be whatever about it, because if that's how people want to do their life, like awesome, great, whatevs. But something that made this experience different was, very recently, I follow this amazing organization called Maha Copy, and I love them. They are so wonderful. And they posted something about this trend that they were seeing. It was posting personal income as a confirmation of authority in a business. And I just really resonated with what they were saying. And I was a little surprised to see how strongly they came out against it. And their argument, I feel, was correct and true. They said, like, personal income is not a confirmation of authority. So saying that you're making $40,000 a month is great, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're good at your job, because it's not proof that you're good at your job. It's proof that you're good at making money or you're good at making sales. And those are very different things. Unless you are selling someone a course on how to make money, like investing, or how to make money not from courses, because that's like the snake eating its tail, right? It's like, you want to make money? Sell courses. Sell a course about making money. It's an MLM, but so is capitalism. Anyways, I just thought it was really, really appropriate. So I'm shouting out Maha Copy Company because they're awesome. And they flagged this thing that I'd been noticing, this trend that I'd been noticing, and they contextualized it a little bit more and made me realize, okay, maybe it's not just me like being a little bit weird or like shadowy around some of the stuff that I'm seeing. Maybe there is something deeper here and it's worth educating on, or at least talking about, so that when we're consumers out in the world and we see this stuff pop up on our pages, and when we're marketers selling things to other people or business owners selling things to other people, we can do it mindfully. And you still might decide to join someone's program or buy something from someone because of what they tell you they make. That's okay. You might still decide to share transparently the income that you make in your marketing materials. I think that's okay too, with nuance. And I mean, you can do whatever you want, but I think it's in integrity and non-coercive copywriting or marketing, which is what I try to practice, to be a little bit more, to push other elements and aspects of your expertise. If you see some red flags, to just flag for yourself, things to see for yourself. When people are posting about their income in general, here's how much money I made. And they're not saying, I made this much money. Here's why I'm sharing it transparently. Here's what worked and here's what didn't work. That's like a money diary. Those are awesome. Or an income report. Those are really interesting and I think really helpful and educational. There's a different flavor to someone sharing an income report because they're telling you, okay, I worked with this influencer or whatever, this agency, and then I sold my course and I also did some ads and all of that is coming in as my revenue for this month. By the way, we got to talk about the difference between revenue and profit. So I think that that's different than someone who's flashing, I made $40,000 this month and I went on vacation and I only worked 4 hours. It's because I used this formula to launch a product or to sell on Amazon or to run my business. Or I run a $1 million business. And if you join my mastermind, you can run a $1 million business too. Those can be valid things, right? If you want to get to 5 figures, 6 figures, 7 figures, I think you have to pay really close attention to what they're actually selling you and how they're selling it. Because false modesty or even lying or obfuscating the truth around money in a business is really, really easy. Some things that are easy to obfuscate are the difference between revenue and profit. Revenue is the amount of money coming in. It's like just net capital. If you're selling a $5 book and you sell 1,000 of those books, then you've got $5,000 in revenue. But there are costs associated with your products, right? With printing that book, with binding the book, with shipping the book, as well as the costs associated with your employees and your income and your Shopify website or being a merchant on Amazon. So your actual profit is a much smaller percentage of what the revenue is. Your revenue is just your top line, the income coming in. So someone could be making $40,000 in revenue, but be taking home $5,000 because they're doing something like buying a lot of ads and spending a lot of money on marketing or spending a lot of money on design or spending a lot of money on having a ton of people working in their business. So maybe they're only working a couple hours a week, which is totally fine. Do that if you want to, but it's a bit disingenuous for them to say, I made $100,000 this month and I only worked 4 hours a week. Well, the business maybe made $100,000, but if their take home is only, I don't know, $5,000 because they're paying other people to work for them and do the work, because someone has to do the work, then that's different, right? That has a different flavor to it. That's something to think about too when we're considering how people are making money and how they're sharing what they're making. Most of the time, people will share that they have a 7-figure or 8-figure business and that they make X amount in revenue or that they've made X amount. What you don't hear is if you have a 7-figure business, that can mean that your business has made 7 figures in the time that you've been around. So if your business has been around for 5 years and you've made 7 figures, it could be that you've made $1 million in 5 years collectively, cumulatively. It could be that you're annually making 7 figures. But usually people say that. And by the way, like that's nothing to sneeze at to make 7 figures over 5 years. That's incredible, great, amazing. But like, it's a totally different message. I recently saw this marketed. Someone had talked about how their business is an 8-figure business. Okay, that could mean that it makes 8 figures a year, but it probably means that over the span of its lifetime, it's made 8 figures and that they've had 15,000 people in their community or like join this thing that they do. Okay, that's like an ongoing membership. It's like, okay, interesting. Is it that they have 15,000 people right now in the program? Or is it that 15,000 people over the last 5 years have joined this thing? It's probably the second one. And that's okay too. Like totally fine. Because if you say, or just the way that it was worded, it was like, oh, it doesn't mean that like currently right now there are 15,000 active people enrolled. It means that over the time that you've run this, you've had 15,000 people go through it. And that's awesome. That's great. But the numbers are going to look really different. And if I'm just calculating off the top of my head, wow, if they have 15,000 people a month and they make whatever, $10 a month on each person, then they're making this amount of money. Wow, they're making so much money. They still could be making a ton of money. Like it's just that they have maybe a third of those subscribers and that's okay. So kind of want to just acknowledge that there's a lot of fuzziness and areas that we could massage if we're talking quote unquote transparently about money in our business that can be really confusing and can be misleading. Okay, so we're all smart people here, right? And we know how to do math. And we probably, if we don't exactly know it or have the terminology for it, we know the difference between like revenue, top line revenue, and the actual cost of doing business and your actual take home. So why do we fall for fake money transparency? Why are we attracted to people who are flashing their personal income as a way to sell a product that doesn't really have anything to do with income necessarily? What in us sees this type of marketing or this messaging and like just overpowers our logical mind and makes us say, I don't know if this is true, but I'm going to join anyways. I don't know if it's real, but I want it to be real. Why do we make that mistake and fall for working with the wrong people? I've done it before. Gosh, I feel like I've talked about it on this podcast before, where I totally fell for working with a coach that was like, it was really expensive. And halfway through, I was like, I need to get my money back. This is not good. This is bad. This is objectively bad. It was not helpful at all. And I totally got roped in and got dollar signs in my eyes or stars in my eyes by the promise of how much money they could help me earn. In reality, they weren't successful in doing that. And that was okay. It was an important lesson. Or maybe, you know what? Maybe they were because I had to learn that lesson. Anyways, why are we attracted to this? Lots of reasons. I mean, first, I think we're craving any type of grounding around money. So whenever someone shares about finances, it's something for us to rebound off of, to respond to, because we are so used to not talking about money in our society. We're not used to sharing about our salaries transparently. We're not used to sharing what our income is, even the way that we buy houses. It's not always obvious or clear how someone is able to do that. And I think we'll take what we can get when it comes to when someone shares about money. We're like, okay, great. They're making $40,000 a year or $40,000 a month, excuse me. I'm not. That's what I should be aspiring to. Okay, if that's what I should be aspiring to, I should ask them how they're doing it, or I should learn how they're doing it. And that's what they're saying that they can teach me. So I'm going to just like go for it. I want to replicate the results that they have. Okay. I sometimes think about like if I didn't have other people to compare my income to, would I ever have the idea that I wasn't making enough? I remember like when I entered the job industry, like when I graduated from college and I started making $50,000 at my first job, I was like, I'm making so much money. Like I'm making so much money. That's crazy. And and now I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I lived on $50,000 a year. That was wild. And I can't believe I got paid $65,000 a year like 3 years later. I should have been getting paid way more. But I didn't have anything really to like rebound against or to bounce off of. I had a bunch of creative friends who had creative careers that didn't make that much money. And no one really talked to me about my income earning potential. So I was like, I'm doing great. It wasn't until I found out that people were making way more money that I was like, oh, I should make more for better or for worse. So I think it just helps us like ground into something, plant our feet on something, or respond to something. We're responding to the stimulus of other people and we're able to compare ourselves for better or for worse. And I think we like that. We don't, as humans, tend to enjoy floating in ether. We don't like it. We want to be able to identify the world around us. And we're floating in space. That's often what we're reaching out to. We're looking to compare what's normal. What should I be aspiring to? What's good? What's bad? Have you ever like taken a test and gotten a result and been like, well, but like, what's the highest score I could get? Or like, what's the lowest score? Did I pass? Like, did I do a good job? Was that what you wanted me to do? I think that's how many of us interact with our lives. Is this like, did I do it the best? Am I one of your favorites? At least that's how I think a lot of the time. So number one, we're craving any grounding around money. Number two, we want to believe that we're just one step or decision away from like immediately accomplishing the exact same thing that the person in our screen has done. Like, oh, if I just do this one thing, then that they said to do, they just changed this one thing, or I just need to take this 1 4-hour course, or I just need to change this one mindset. And then all of a sudden, all the things that I've been working for the past 5, 6 years, whatever, they're all going to lock into place and it's going to be like, chef's kiss, amazing. Got it. Nailed it. I'm just one subtle hint or trick away from becoming that millionaire that I know I can be. Okay, maybe it is. There are some subtle changes that you need to make that are going to unlock some things for you. But it tends not to be just one thing, one magic bullet, one key that you're missing. It tends to be a litany of things that we need to shift and change in ourselves, in our relationships, in our relationship to money, in our mindset, in our money practices, in our business practices that help us earn more and keep more, have more abundance, which is in general, I think, what most people want. Or we've been taught a simplistic view of wealth and business that states, if this, then that. If you want to make money, then you have to do XYZ thing. If you want to make $100,000 a month, then all you have to do is follow this simple formula. In reality, money and accruing wealth is a way more creative endeavor. It is so creative. Everyone is so creative when it comes to making money. It isn't a formula. What you find as you work with more and more wealthy people, or you work with more people in general, is that wealth and abundance isn't acquired typically with one revenue stream or one business or one tactic. It is holistic. It is multi-pronged. It might be a combination of investing and consulting and having a small business and selling part of that business, buying other businesses. There are so many different ways that we can make money over time by investing in property. There's so much going on. And I think it's really attractive to see, if I do this one thing or if I follow this formula, then I will get all of this. I will have the life that this person has with whatever, going on vacation for 3 months in Europe and working 4 hours a day and making $100,000 a month. Great. It could be, but it probably isn't, that they are simply printing money from using this one simple trick that they're willing to teach you that you can immediately implement tomorrow. It is more likely that their entire life actually has tons of levers when it comes to income and revenue. And the results that they're talking about actually come from that multi-pronged approach, that more complex and creative and honestly more interesting approach. Okay. And then fourth one, we only see the outcome, not the measurement of a values alignment. And that's a confusing way of saying it, but here's what I mean. I advise and consult. Sometimes when I work with people, I see a strategy that is not a strategy that I would align with. And that strategy suggests that they get people in by spending a lot of money on ads, individual people, and then they basically put a countdown timer or clock on getting them to buy a product. And there's some other things that end up happening. What a lot of those types of clients are promised from these outside vendors is that they're going to be making $20,000 a month or billing $20,000 a month, but really what they're spending is $10,000, sometimes more, dollars on acquiring new people. And it's a little bit of like a machine or a system. And for me, that would not be in alignment with my personal values, like moving through the world in that way. There's absolutely nothing wrong with using ads. We use ads at Holisticism. There's nothing wrong with a quote unquote funnel. It's just that there are some strategies that feel just like hinky and icky to me personally that are not in alignment with my own values. Now, everything else might be like working with people one-on-one or offering people value in this thing that I do, or even growing an audience. Like all of those things sound good, but it's not until we sort of like look under the hood and see the process that I would realize, oh, wait a second, that doesn't work for me. That's not how I like to do things. I don't like to push like fake deadlines on people. That's just not what I like to do. So we might see, oh yeah, this outcome is that you can make $20,000 a month, but the process is not in alignment with what truly is your value set in your business. All right. Last but certainly not least, we don't have a solid center of what enough is for ourselves, for us. The Psychology of Money is a fantastic book. And in it, the key takeaway is wealthy people know when enough is enough for them. Rich people will always be searching and grasping or reaching for more. They'll never be satisfied with what they have. They'll keep moving the goalpost. They'll say, okay, I'll be happy when I make $1 million. Then they reach $1 million and they're like, oh, I'll be happy when I make $3 million. Wealthy people know what their limit is. They know that this is what abundance or prosperity feels like for me. This is what wealth feels like for me. And they don't keep moving the goalposts, even if they maybe could, right? And if we never decide what is enough for us, nothing will be enough. Often we are attracted to people's offers or to people that promise us more, 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 because we don't know when enough is enough for us. We don't have a boundary for ourselves. And that's okay. Like, that's not really the world that we live in. There aren't a ton of people out there being like, yeah, consume less. Maybe think about making less money. Maybe like, don't aspire to continue to grow your business. We don't have a ton of people saying that in general in the world. And we should, because you might and probably will be equally happy making, I don't know, $250,000 as you would making $350,000. I have a funny story that I'll share with you. My dad was telling me a story about one of his clients. He's pretty famous. He's done some incredible work in the world. And he was talking to my dad about money and this concept of enough. And he said, if someone offers you a $5 million check and a $50 million check, take the $5 million check. Because the $50 million check will not make you that much happier. Trust me. And it will cause way more strife in your life, not to like plant some bad associations with money in your brain. But he was basically saying, I've settled so many disputes and I've seen so many people awarded money for their pain and suffering. And take the smaller sum, because you really like, there's not really a huge difference. Once you hit that number, 5 million, like you're good. You got what you need. And it only gets more complicated. And usually people don't work on their money stuff. And that's why it gets more complicated when we get more. I think something that can help us as we're like walking through the world and we see these numbers flashing in front of us and these promises of what we could do or what we could be or what we could make and what our life could be like, which might be really incentivizing and really interesting to us, is to know, okay, but what is enough for me? Like, do I need to make $10 million a year? Maybe you do. Maybe that's really important. Maybe not. Maybe what you need to make is like, yeah, I don't know, $150,000 a year. And you want to like not work on the weekends. And you want to stop working at, I don't know, 3 every day. And you want to work from home and you're good. Like, that's good for you. That's wealth for you. That's all of your needs are met. I don't know. It's going to be different for everyone. But I think that that sort of contextualization, is that a word? Contextualization? That context can really help. Can really help us be just more conscious when we're making these decisions. So with that, I feel like we've talked about a lot, but I want to leave you with some things to think about when you're scrolling around in the world and you're getting marketed to, and what you might just want to like take notice of. Notice how someone talks about their income. If they're specific, like, I made X number of dollars this year, I had X profit margins, I paid myself X amount of money, or if they're more broad and open, if there's more wiggle room, like I run an 8-figure business, or we made $1 million in revenue. Okay, totally fine. It's fine for people to share that, but just know that there's more question marks around that and they don't necessarily owe you specificity, but it could be that they made $1 million in revenue and they paid $750,000 in operating expenses. So their take home is still nice, but a far cry from $1 million. So just, you know, clock that for yourself. Clock how realistic what someone's income might be and why it might be there. Are they having a $40,000 month because they've been in business for the last 3 years, been growing their audience? Or are they having a $40,000 month because they launched on Instagram 2 weeks ago and they grew their audience really fast because they posted every day? Probably not the second one, probably the first one, right? And temper your experience or your outcome. So if you're just starting your business and you're going to follow that same formula that someone's been doing for 5 years, you're probably going to have different results. And that's okay. I wouldn't expect you to have the same results. You shouldn't expect to have the same results. Again, does that make it a little bit like, weird that they're sharing their results and saying like, you can get this too? Yeah, because it's not exactly transparent and true. But like, maybe if you apply that strategy for the next 3 years, you'll eventually get to that point too, which is fair. And if you are like, oh my God, I've totally shared about how much money I make before, and I'm realizing that the like, that makes me feel a little bit weird, or maybe that's not good. I've also totally shared, by the way, like, oh, we made X amount of dollars off of this product, or this launch made X money. I think that stuff, like when presented with clarity and without the intention of like, and here's why you should trust me because I have so much money, when presented in the appropriate way is really helpful and can be very informative and can be like really kind and generous. I so appreciate when someone says, I had $100,000 a month and here's exactly how it went. And maybe they say, we didn't make any money the month before. So we were like doubling down on products this month, and that's why the revenue was so high. Again, there's no exact formula here. It's more thinking about, am I being totally transparent and honest, or am I maybe inflating or fluffing up what I'm saying or associating the amount of money that I make with me being good at my job, when in reality, all that making money shows is that I can make money. And by the way, making money and saving money are two different things. Making money and keeping money are two different things. So we've got a lot going on there. And just because someone's making a lot of money doesn't mean they're saving a lot of money. Just because they're making a lot of money doesn't mean they are financially well. Just because they're making a lot of money doesn't mean that they don't have a ton of debt. Just because they're making a lot of money doesn't mean they're happy. It could mean that they're happy and debt-free and that they live a good life and they're taking home a lot of money and that they're amazing at saving. It could mean that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. And most of the time, it doesn't mean all of those things. You're so smart. You're so thoughtful. You're so wise. And when you make your decisions about how you want to invest your time and your energy and who you want to invest your time and energy into, other than yourself, who you want to surround yourself with, who you want to learn from, just run yourself through that checklist and just check in so that you don't feel after you've made a purchase or an investment like, oh no, I've made a horrible mistake. Shit. That maybe you can't undo. Because that would be the worst thing. It wouldn't be the worst thing, but it would really suck. And I want more money transparency, more real money transparency and financial transparency in 2024. I hope that we stop seeing this as like a weird trend of like inflated numbers. It's objectively unwell. But like I said, I'm obsessed with money diaries on Reddit. If you're not on the subreddit, you should definitely join it. It's really interesting. And there's so much interesting information shared there and great information shared there. And I am a huge fan of asking people like, oh my gosh, how'd you do that? Wait, like, how do you do that? And are you like paying a lot of other people to help you? Or like, what's the deal? It might be a little bit rude, but if you've got a good relationship with someone, usually they'll let you know. They'll be real. And it's expansive to get the truth and decide for yourself, oh, okay, actually they're like doing way better than I thought. And how cool is that? Or, oh, wait a second, this is different than what I was expecting. And it's neither good nor bad, but maybe it makes me feel a little bit better about where I'm at because I'm not as far behind as I thought I was. This is all to say that you can never know from the outside how someone's doing. And also finance and business changes so fast. So you really never know what's going on with someone. And if you're judging yourself or you're feeling like you're behind because of what you're seeing other people portray out in the world, just know that a lot of the time it's not 100% of the full transparent truth. And that's okay. They don't owe us that. No one owes us that, right? But be mindful when you're comparing that you don't always have the whole story. You rarely have the full story. And don't beat yourself up if you feel like you're not doing as well as you should be or you're behind. You're doing great. You're doing your best. That's really all that matters. Okay. With that, I'm going to let you go. That's the end of our first episode of The Eighth House, Other People's Money. We have some good ones coming up, and I hope that you tune in. If you liked this episode, go ahead and give us 5 stars on Spotify or give us a review on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate it so much. And if you want to hear more of The 12th House, more edutaining content, more audio courses, more just regular old shooting the shit with me, you should subscribe to The 12th House Plus. It is our paid subscriber feed. It's $5 a month, and you get 2 extra episodes every month. One is a mini audio course with me, and the other is like a green room conversation where I kind of like tell you what's going on behind the scenes. Sometimes I have a guest come in or a friend. It's really fun, and we love doing them, and we have the best subscribers. And if you are a 12th House Plus subscriber, mwah, 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 I love you so much. You're amazing. You help keep the show going, and we really appreciate that. Okay, with that, I'm going to let you go. Have a good rest of your day, and I'll see you on the internet. Bye. The 12th House is produced by the Holisticism team with theme music by Nathan McKay and edited by the incredible Softer Sound Studio, who you can find more information about in our show notes. Thanks for listening.